If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Merry Christmas. Gutter's full. Hey, everybody. Kevin Goatee just kicking it like usual. Happy to announce that this week's episode, our own Kevin Israel back in the gutter's chair. What is he taking on? 300. You know, the bro film of bro films in the last 15 years. Special guest judge, Bill Schultz. Hope you're not sick of him, because here he is again. Before we get to it, guttingthesacredcow.com every day with blog articles. And, of course, the merch shop. Buy a hat, buy a shirt, buy a bag, buy a fake COVID vaccine card. I don't care. We don't have those there. I'm just kidding. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. And why waste any more time? Here's Kevin Israel sitting in the gutter's chair doing 300.
Gather around, here's what I know. It's just that.
Who do you play for? The United States of America. Kevin Israel, name that film.
I'm gutting. I don't have to name anything.
Oh.
I know it.
Bill Schultz, hi again, buddy. How are you?
Well, wait. Are you going to let me guess?
Of course I'll let you guess. That's why I say hi, buddy. Yes! He got it. Miracle. Good one. I didn't know if that was, I thought that was like, it might have been too easy, but look at that.
Well, here's how awesome Kurt Russell is. He still looked cool in that fucking haircut as the coach of the 1980 hockey team.
When isn't Kurt Russell cool? Please let me know.
Never.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. This would be a quick episode if we didn't say that. Kevin Goatee, Bill Schultz. Here we are, Gutting the Sacred Cow, new episode, and this is one of two episodes where one of us sits in the gutting chair. This time, it's my lovable, affable co-host, Kevin Israel. Kevin Israel, how are you, sir?
I'm excited.
You are.
Well, I'm most excited because I picked a bunch of other movies, and every time Goatee was like, nobody's going to care about that movie. Don't do that. Not that movie. And then I picked this one, and he was like, yes. And I was like, oh, thank God.
I just love that Xerxes looks like he's railing you from behind.
Xerxes, that's my face on Xerxes, Bill.
I love that Xerxes / Israel is railing Israel from behind. Very meta.
Why do you think his hair is all tussled up? That's because he was grabbing, going, look at me! As a romantic he is.
I look so good with cheek piercings.
Bill Schultz, our old pal, our old chum, is back from the morning show, but he's going to sit back in the old gutting co-host chair with me as Kevin Israel has decided to take on a film that every bro-y bro-er broster has cited as his top 15, 20, and that is 300. 2007 came out, budget of $65 million. Brought in a little haul of $456 million in 2021 dollars, $83.8 million budget, $585.5 million to watch CGI and not enough cock flapping in Bill Schultz's opinion. I'm going to take 1 point from him away right now.
After I look so masculine,
Can the good folks at home get a nice cut down of the camera with the full attire? This is what a dedicated soul he is. Schultz is for
this is a family show.
I thought we were doing a different movie. This is just my loungewear.
He thought we were doing Masters of the Universe. Can you imagine?
That if it was for Bill, it would be Masters of the Puniverse.
Hey-o!
There's a lot of room to be made saying that that ruined Dolph Lundgren's career. He was riding high after Rocky IV, Masters of the Universe, right after that.
You mean Red Scorpion didn't resurrect him from the dead?
God, I don't even remember Red Scorpion.
Nor does he or his agent. IMDb, as we all know, is a scale 1 through 10. And we're going to go to our guest first. And this one, hey, Kevin Israel, and this is kind of odd for you to answer this one for a change. What do you think 300 got on the old IMDb?
I'm going to go 6.8.
Bill Schultz smoking a cigarette. Very unspartan-like, by the way.
Seriously. Although I'm not smoking a small boy's dick. So that is also, I guess, not spartan-like.
Not on camera, at least.
Well, it's a Monday, Bill. I mean, any other day.
X-ray on my hobbies day. I would say, just to make it easy for me and beat Kevin, 7.8.
7.6.
This is Schultz.
If that is not your Tinder, Twister, or Twitter, farmers.com, Grindr, default picture from now on, nothing shall serve a purpose unlike
this. The fact that I posted this costume, quote unquote, on Twitter means that I will be kicked off Twitter in about 10 minutes.
I only hope your co-host saw a picture. Rotten Tomatoes critics, what, of course, 1 through 100. Bill Schultz, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critics gave 300?
Out of 100.
Yes, sir.
80.
Kevin Israel.
I'm going to 72.
61.
Gosh.
Come on, guys. You know critics. Hey, critics are nerds, and they hate anything that shows an ounce of testosterone. Although they probably did
But that was before.
I thought because of the graphic, the visual special effects, I thought this got a bunch of...
I have to wonder what Gladiator did, but who cares? I'll look at that in a minute. Kevin Israel, what did the audience give 300? Same score, same scale, excuse me.
I bet it was like an 86.
Schultz.
I'm going to go with 75.
89.
Really? Wow.
One more for the good guys.
If you care, the critics gave Gladiator a 77 on Rotten Tomatoes. That's shocking. That's shocking.
That surprises me.
I was going to say high. At least 85 would have been my guess. That's floored. Quotes. This is Sparta. By the way, nowhere else except this film do you ever hear such reverence for one's hometown besides where Brooklyn at. And of course, but you never hear anyone else throwing up signs for a town like this is Anchorage.
We are Saskatchewan.
A. Number two, of course, this is another one. Eat hearty, for tonight we dine in hell. Oh.
All the memes.
Yeah. Kevin Israel, what quotes did you... I'm sorry, Bill Schultz, what did you have quote-wise for this film?
Oh, quote, let's see. Oh, well, you haven't met a Spartan woman.
Mm-hmm. That it?
What? You haven't met a Spartan woman. I liked it when he said that to one of the messengers. Well, actually, I think it was Xerxes when he was talking about he was talking some shit about Spartan women. And a lot of what I find Gerard, whatever his name is, it's not the line itself. It's his like eye rolling sort of snarky thing he does. That's very 20th century. In that time that makes the line. And so while that line is not good, the way he delivers it is good.
I like how Bill Schultz can memorize one famous Gerard. There are two, Gerard Butler and Gerard Depardieu.
No, sir. Gerard Depardieu is canceled. I refuse to name his name.
We speak his name. Oh, he was a bit rapey. That's right. I forgot about him and his
hijinks.
Yeah, a lot of rapey.
He also did. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin. Well, it's time to throw your VHS copy of Green Card in the fucking trash then.
Wasn't he in a Three Musketeers movie? The Man in the Iron Mask.
Yes. With DiCaprio?
Yeah.
He was in that? I saw that.
He was one of the Musketeers.
Never gave that film a second thought. Does it deserve it? Probably not.
No.
Five fun.
I don't get to give a quote.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Shit all over.
Maximus Aurelius with that haircut. I love it. Spartans, what is your profession? Oh, yeah.
And
they're doing roll call while they're filming the W-2s. What the fuck?
And to keep with the screaming, give them nothing but take from them everything.
I like that.
You know, it'd be funny if Gerard Depardieu would added, including their man virginity by raping them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and by the way, do you guys remember another one that I realized because I saw it again, actually for the first time on Sunday. You know, the NRA took this from them, I believe, or maybe they took it from the NRA. But remember, it's when the Persians are coming over, they're like, Spartans, drop your weapons. And they go, come and take them. That's kind of loosely an NRA line.
That was Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston. What a hack. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
Zack Snyder adapted the graphic novel shot for shot.
Ooh.
Did you read this, Kevin Israel, since you're the comic book guy here?
I mean, I knew that from previous readings, but sometimes you shouldn't be as faithful to the source material.
No shit.
Actors train for 8 weeks while never doing the same exercise twice to avoid their bodies getting accustomed to certain types of exertion.
I want to train. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Someone can also shoehorn in there, including acting. Okay. At the time, until what film, was this the highest grossing R-rated comic book film of all time? Kevin Israel, I know you know this because you live in this world.
Blade?
No.
Deadpool.
Deadpool's right.
Oh.
Yes!
Oh, Deadpool unseated this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I misunderstood the question. Sorry.
I wouldn't have said Blade.
Gerard Butler spent 4 hours training in a gym for over 4 months to get in shape.
And God damn it, it worked.
Yeah. I thought he was CGI like all these other assholes. They worked out a good amount and then they got CGI to get the eight pack in there. Guess not.
Wait, I will say this. Wasn't it a little bit CGI?
I mean, the film was a lot of CGI.
They said they spray tan some of their abs to make their abs look more defined, but there was no CGI. But there were points in the movie where I was like, he looks better than he did in the last scene. Like, I feel like this one, they were filmed in different orders and he was in better shape at certain points. I took special notice. Anyway,
continue. I do.
With your pants off. Number five, some of the weapons used in this film were left over from Alexander and Troy to save on costs. Oh, really? When you drop $65 million, you couldn't get a few spare swords out of the dollar store? You had to recycle them? Jesus Christ.
How much it cost to CGI a giant rhinoceros?
And yet they still made it more homoerotic than Alexander.
You say that like it's a bad thing, Bill. Alexander has one of the greatest scenes ever. That's Rosario Dawson full on getting it. And I will die on that hill. Fuck very soon.
Never seen the movie.
You don't. Just go YouTube that scene and you'll go, he's right. He's right.
I believe that was Rosario's first topless scene. She said
not her last. Go see Trance. She gets full kit and caboodle, top to bottom. No body double there. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
She is under the radar top 10 smoking hot.
Yeah. Oh, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. And yet dating a gay New Jersey politician.
I was just going to say dating, allegedly.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
We call it bearding.
The beard of.
Yeah. And now we get to have not our fans ask our, well, they always ask us, but now we get to have our fans ask our one panelist in our Ask a Gutter segment.
Ask a Gutter, Ask a Gutter, Ask a Gutter, Ask a Gutter.
Our old buddy Brandon Oglesby at Newark Night. Kevin Israel, does a slow-mo kick work better in 300 or Watchmen?
I'm going to reserve comment for my comments.
Noted. Bango, our old pal Bango Recap. Bango says the most historically inaccurate thing about 300 is the implication that the Spartans weren't boy lovers, only the Athenians. Otherwise, that movie is pure over-the-top cartoonish historical fiction, and damn it, I loved it. He also likes Big Lebowski, so that says more about you than anything I care to know.
Was there a question in there? Or does he just want to say he really likes little boys? Is that what he's getting at? I don't understand.
Maybe so. At Ray Cicadas, Almighty Ray, our pal from the Who Would Win show, 300 is a film for the guys who stuff kids into locker pleasure themselves to. Happy gutting. Sounds like Ray was stuffed into a locker.
Although I got to say, that was the best synopsis ever.
I agree.
I love that line. I told that guy, I was like, I can't do this any better than you just did, sir.
Yeah. Ray is great. Check him out on the Highlander episode as well as the Transformers. We love Ray's fucking hilarious. Lord Snurts, Snyder films are often too long, over stylized, and generally not good. The amount of slow-mo is borderline abusive. I hope KI guts this cow with a vengeance. Would the DCU be in better shape if someone else took on Justice League? I think we can all answer that. Of course not. I'm just kidding. It's terrible.
I mean, as for an answer to that, I don't think anybody. I think DC just has such a trouble getting at itself. I don't think it matters the director or who's involved. DC's the properties are just almost impossible to tackle, and the audio, their fans are impossible to please.
Well, and I think you guys are probably going to both destroy me for this, but I honestly did not mind the Snyder Cut. I enjoyed it.
I didn't mind it either.
I didn't watch it.
It was ridiculously long, but
that's why I didn't watch it.
It was definitely an improvement on the original, but that's not saying much.
You're not selling me to waste 3.5 hours of my time on this, fellas.
Well, you don't have to watch it all at the same time. It was episodic in the way it was presented.
Well, I have more important fish to fry, such as the new Spider-Man, the new Matrix, which I know is going to disappoint the shit out of me. I know. I'm so and the Kingsman prequel. I hope it rebounds from the last one.
Nope.
The first Kingsman film is fantastic.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. But the first Kingsman is amazing. The second one sucks. But if you haven't seen either, Kingsman 1 is great. Enough horseshit. Kevin Israel, here are the words that you're dying to hear for once a year that we do this. It's Bill Schultz. Want to join you with me? It's time for Kevin Israel to gut
the sacred
cow. He threw the Chicago accent. How dare you mock us with that shit?
I like being on the receiving end of that.
Fire away. Take this all in, boys, because I'm putting a sweatshirt on. I'm getting cold.
I could tell. You can cut glass with those things.
My nipples are cutting glass.
It's hilarious.
You want me to start, or are we waiting for you, Bill, to dress?
No. I'm watching.
I can hear you while I put my shirt on.
I'm just juggling my balls as he slowly puts his shirt on with that poncho.
Oh, look at that drug rug. That is.
Hey, Bill. What
is a little Lebowski?
Bill, what time is the Toad the Wet Sprocket concert tonight?
I remember the 90s.
Yeah, I think great. Kevin, fire away.
So let's get this get the 800-pound gorilla out of the way. The slow motion in this movie is absolutely ridiculous. Like our fans said, Zack Snyder. I don't know what happened to him in film school where he was like, slow motion, that's going to be my thing. And I'm going to go all in, because it's insane how much slow motion there is. It's almost like he doesn't realize you can build drama and excitement without slow motion. I feel like in his life, I think Zack Snyder has sex in slow motion. Like, I feel like around, like, he must drive his kids crazy, because they must be like, Dad, can I borrow $10? And he's like, sure. And they're like, Dad, just give me the money.
I think Zack Snyder saw The Matrix and goes, I'm going to use so much like slow-mo bullet time shit where people think I invented it, because I'm going to do it in every single film ad nauseum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was like, oh, you thought that was a lot of slow motion. Hold my hat. So anyway, so I broke my gutting down into a couple of different segments. I'm going to start with the plot. The basic plot of this movie is about the Spartan army defending Sparta from the Persian army, whose Emperor Xerxes is coming in to basically take over Sparta and take over the world is his overall goal. So the movie starts and we learn that our heroes are a warrior society who kills babies because if they're too small or deformed or just not up to their standards. Those are our heroes. Baby yes. killers. Like, that's the people we're rooting for. Basically the Nazis. So yeah. the Spartans are the Nazis in this. So immediately, I'm not really on board.
Well, and Kev, sorry to interrupt, but by the way, that is historically accurate. The Spartans did do
Oh, yeah. No, no, I know. Yeah. I know. But, I mean, this movie could have been presented very differently, and it could have been interesting if they actually made the audience feel a little uncomfortable about having to root for these guys. But,
yeah, like, they didn't have eugenics.
Right, yeah, right. But like we said in the beginning, this movie, they completely embraced the broke. It's like they went into a bar and found 5 30-year-old guys still wearing their varsity jackets and were like, what kind of movie would you like to see? And they were like, bro, ripped dudes with swords kicking ass half naked. And Zack Snyder was like, I got you. I'm making that movie. And it's going to be in slow motion. And they were like, awesome. And that's what we got. That's exactly the movie we got. I blame this movie for CrossFit. If there's no other reason to hate this movie, after this movie came out, there were 10,000 articles about the workouts these guys did. And some idiot in a warehouse somewhere looked around and was like, I can make a gym out of this. And now we have guys who post nonstop about their workouts and their diets. And fuck you, Zack Snyder. You did that.
True. 100% true.
So again, these guys are our heroes. And at one point, Leonidas says there's no room for softness or weakness in Sparta. This movie spends so much time telling us how strong and tough the Spartans are. And nobody tells you more than the fucking Spartans. Now, mind you, this whole movie is supposed to be narrated by one of the Spartans who survived the battle and went back to tell other Spartans the story. Why is he telling other Spartans the story of Sparta when they already know about Sparta because they're Spartans? He spends the first half of the movie telling about how Spartan boys are raised. Nobody stood up and was like, bro, we know this. We live this, asshole. Get to the point. Is Leonidas alive or dead? We don't care. Anyway, moving on. The movie is basically just a series of video game theatricals tied together. It's one long... yes. It's one long battle. That just keeps, it's like every round they beat somebody, a new boss comes in, they beat the boss, and then the next round comes in. I am 99% sure Zack Snyder made this movie and it was about 30 minutes shorter and it was just battles and he got it and the production company or the studio was like, Zack, this movie is just a video game. You need to put something in. And he was like, oh, okay. And that's why we got that horseshit storyline about the political side of it that nobody gives a fuck about. Nobody cares. If you're watching this movie to watch this movie for what it is, you either skip over the whole queen story or you walk out when it comes on to get some more food or to go do some push-ups or whatever it is you're doing while you're watching this movie, because that whole storyline is utter crap and nobody cares about it. It does nothing to advance the main plot of the story, which is just these guys surviving. It's the whole story is just these guys surviving in the face of it. And then let's talk about, because I know Bill wants to get onto this. Let's talk about the homoerotic undertones. Clearly, it's obvious that if you have a movie with 300 guys, 90% naked, just flexed and shredded to the bone, it's going to be a little gay. But this movie goes out of the way. And the fact that Zack Snyder had the sheer gall to write the line when they run into the Athenians and they goes, and the Greeks. You know, they're boy lovers. It's like, what, bro? You're walking around in a Speedo and sandals. How could you call somebody? You're making some fun of anybody else for being a little bit gay. Have you seen your troop over here? Like, that's insane. And Zach wrote that, and he probably was 100% like, this is a good line. This is going to, people are going to laugh because everyone knows Greeks raped boys. So, yeah, this is going to be a good one. Then there's Xerxes. Xerxes himself is one of the most homoerotic characters I've ever seen. The scene.
You or Xerxes?
Well, I mean, I know that the gay community is a big fan of me, but I'm talking about the real Xerxes. The scene where he goes behind Leonidas and puts his giant man mitts on his shoulders and it looks like he's about to enter him. So yes. What the fuck was that scene? And why did Leonidas just stand there and allow it to happen while he's like massaging him and telling him all he wants to do? It was such a creepy fucking scene. There's the weird guy, the big fat monster thing that has the sword hands, and he has nipple clamps for no apparent reason. Like, that was a strange design choice. Like, they were like, you know what? We haven't made this movie kind of gay enough. Put nipple clamps on fat sword hands. That's gonna really put us over the top. And then the tent of debauchery, where the hunchback gets tempted with all that. Zach went really like, we get the point that there's, you know, this is the sin. This is, you can have all the naughty stuff, but I feel like Zach was definitely jerking off while they were like putting that together, being like, oh, this is it. This is so good. So that's the plot. Now let's move on to the characters. Leonidas, our hero, the star of the movie. The main character is an asshole. He's an idiot. He's a dumb asshole. I don't remember who said it, but he is the guy who threw kids into lockers. He's an asshole. Had he just taken a minute and thought about what he was doing and not kicked the guy into the well, this could have gone a completely different way. And I'm not saying there still wouldn't have been a war. And I'm not saying they couldn't have fought heroically, but it was just such a dick thing to do. And then he goes on, and in every turn where he has a chance to make a decision that will better the outcome of this movie, he's like, nah, fuck it. We're Spartans, and we don't back down because we're strong. And Spartans had a Scottish accent, in case you didn't know that. And I'm angry, so I show my teeth. Like, he's such a fucking dickhead. And they try to make it, the only moment of sympathy that they try to give him is when he's wrestling with his son, who's also half naked, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. And then
no one got a boner. You're right. That was weird. No one got a boner.
And right. Gerard, why are you walking funny?
Don't look down.
and then he kissed his head and he like got up and he was like, oh, he's a nice father. But other than that, he's a fucking asshole. He does have a really nice ass though.
Yes. I mean, what?
Gorgo, the queen, whose name I never realized was Gorgo and is a really stupid name, but I imagine it's historical in some way. She's the real villain in this movie, by the way. She's the one that sets this entire thing in motion. When he turns around, when he's about to kick the Persian emissary into the well, mm-hmm. and he turns and looks at her, and she does the very subtle nod, the little and that's everything. It's all her fucking fault. Had she just shook her head, had she just said, nah, he wouldn't have done it. And then they could have gotten together. They would have gotten the army. They would have figured it out. No, she had to be a controlling bitch and fucking be like, I he's the king, but I'm pulling the strings. Fucked it up for all of Sparta. Xerxes, we covered. He's a ridiculous character. I'm not sure if he's supposed to be supernatural. I get into that a little more, but he's like 9 feet tall and gold. And when you see him come out, you're like, he's definitely going to do a show tune, like in a drag show. Like, I really felt like him to have like a real, like a Queenie type accent. And then he's got this weird reverberating, like, rah, 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 like, it almost sounds like Batman. Like, what was that? Why did they make him look like that? But gave him that. He's a completely uninteresting villain. All you know is he's that guy. He's that villain that goes, I'll kill all my men and still win. Oh, that's a way to get loyalty, by killing your men. So you're bad. You're bad because you're baddie, bad, bad, bad. We get it. They're strong, 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 and you're bad, 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 and you guys are going to fight, and that's what's going to make this a great movie. Sure. Theron, speaking of people who are absolutely one-dimensional, the politician. They shouldn't even give him a name. They should have just called him politician, because he's just a politician. He's a dick. He's self-serving. He gets money. He takes bribes. He's a politician. You hate politicians. I hate politicians. That's all you need to know. And they failed in that character when they had him rape the queen. They shouldn't have done that. They should have had her offer herself to him or suggest that he was going to be doing it. And he should have been like, this isn't even what I want. I want control or I want power. So you're not like, they should have made him a little more complicated than just like, I'm a politician, but I'm also really horny and I'm going to bang you. Like, that's it. That's all you have for this.
I love that. Yeah. It's the most basic bitch way of making a political bad guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, what are politicians? They like money and women. Well, I got them both. That's what this guy is. Ridiculous. Ephialtes, I think I mispronounced his name. The Hunchback. Another really interesting character. Could have had a really, really interesting storyline. I think it would have been much more interesting if Leonidas at first said, yeah, come fight with us. And then he like fucks up. And then he like sends him away or something. But just dismissing him out of hand, it just reinforces that Leonidas is a dick. He couldn't come up with some diplomatic way to handle the situation. Like, fine, like, you want to fight? All right. You don't have to be part of the phalanx. We'll put you over here and you can fight somebody else. Or he didn't have to be like, yeah, clean up our shit and mop the floor. And that's what you can do because you're ugly. And they had to make him. They had to make the point that, like, this is the kind of people they threw away, by the way. Like, not like. Not if you just had a bit of a big nose. Like, you had to be a hunchback with fucked up eyes and, like, misshapen. Like, they had to make him so bad. It would have been so much funnier if he was just, like, a little short. Like, he walked in, he's like, I'll fight with you. And they're like, no way, shorty. And he's like, I'm 5'10". I'm not that short. And they're like, no, get out of here, you shrimp. And he'd be like, but come on. I'm not that bad. And he's like, no, Spartans are all 6'2". We're over. Get out of here. But they had to make him as physically deformed as possible. And to be like, all right, this is so it's okay that they throw those rejects out because those babies should be thrown out. It's weird. Then we get to the climaxes of the movies. There's two. Gorgo kills Theron, the politician. You could feel that was building up to that scene. Like, that scene was coming. That was telegraphed from a mile away. Clearly, she was going to get her comeuppance on him. And this whole moment this whole grandiose moment before the Senate, she was supposed to be making the case and blah, blah, blah. And all the guys are supposed to be like, ah, rum, 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 no women, rum, 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 rum. And she was like, but instead of giving her the opportunity to be like a strong woman and like argue the point and like be convincing or like have a couple of the guys go, yeah, we agree with you. The guy had to stand up and be like, no, silly bitch, you tried to fuck me. And then the only way she could possibly win is by murdering him. And to make it worse, he was carrying the coins that he was bribed with on him.
Right.
What kind of asshole does that? He has in his pouch that are marked with the enemy's face. Like, first of all, if you came to pay me, bribe me, and you gave me money that was marked with your guy's face, I would be like, no, fuck you. Go get some of our money and pay me with. I'm not caring. Where am I going to spend this? Who am I going to give this to in Sparta? Like, I'm not going to be able to buy sandals or a robe with Xerxes face coins. That's crazy.
Take your take those toonies and loonies and shove them up your ass.
Yeah, toonies and loonies. Exactly. It was just such sloppy writing. And you could tell that whole storyline, that embodies that whole storyline, because he was like, I don't know how I'm going to end this. How does it just have the coins fall out and everybody like, and good enough. And she's redeemed herself. Fine. Out. Shitty, shitty story writing. And then the other climax is when Bill saw all the six packs. The other climax is when you know, the spear through the cheek. Here's the thing. This whole movie builds up to this moment, this great intense moment where they all know they're going to die and they're standing down their enemy, unbeatable odds. And the narrator, who's the most annoying part of this movie, is like overly dramatically being like, and he feels the sand beneath his feet and the wind, and his helmet is so heavy and his shield is burdensome, and he throws it down. And then you think he's kneeling, and then it's like, but what he was actually doing was he needed to be able to see and he needed to be able to aim so he could throw his spear, and it's going to be this great moment. And he nicks his cheek. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. And I understand that it's a callback to him saying to Xerxes, I'll prove that a god king can bleed. I get that. But you made me go through this whole movie about these great warriors, and all I get was the bad guy getting his cheek nicked. It would have been so much better if that thing landed dead center in his face and everybody was like, ah, and Xerxes was like jerked off on all of them. And we, or Leonidas jerked off on all of them. We were all like, yay. And that movie ended. That would have at least been the movie we were going to see. We were like, we didn't want this like deep, like, ooh, that's so symbolic. And that's a callback. And I get it. I get what they were saying. Like, that's ridiculous. And you didn't give us like, that was, they just built it up. And I, every time I've seen that scene a number of times, and every time I see it, I'm like, that's such a shit way out for this movie. If you're making a more complicated movie and that was deeper and had more plot development, fine. But that was again, really, really shit storytelling for the story that you were telling. And it just never did it for me.
Well, and kind of going back to your earlier point about the relentless use of slow motion, when you have that final scene of him throwing the spear at Cersei's, you are so used to slow motion that you now just look at it as real time. And so the whole time, you're looking at that spear and you're like, why doesn't the motherfucker just duck? We're waiting 5 hours for this thing to hit.
It's like the scene in Austin Powers where he's chasing him on the steamroller thing. No! Yeah. And it takes 30 seconds for him to get there and then get run over. Yeah, 100% agree.
Yes, that's it entirely. That is it exactly.
And then I'll just end with a couple of random observations that I made during the movie. The whole thing with the Oracle was really weird. Like, that was Zack Snyder just getting, like, that was Quentin Tarantino level creepy, where it was just like these old deformed men licking this young girl who was dancing, like consulting the Oracle. That sounds like a euphemism. Like, I got to go to the bathroom and consult the Oracle, if you know what I mean. Like, what is that? And she's like naked, and it's just these old guys with leprosy or whatever they were. That was just, it was just so over the top. And another big part problem that I had with this movie is it walks this annoying line between being supernatural or not, and it never commits to either. It should have either been based in complete reality and just gone that way, or been like a fantasy novel, a fantasy story where they could have had monsters and whatever. Okay, they reference Hercules, and then they're, you know, the immortal warriors who aren't immortal, and then there's the guy with the knife hands, and there's a ton of things that Xerxes is 9 feet tall, but it always seems like it's not, it doesn't commit either way, and that was shitty. That kind of takes you out of the movie because it's like, oh, you're, you know, these badass warriors who train and blah, 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 but they're fighting fucking giant rhinoceroses. Like, the movie never really dove one way or the other into what kind of movie it was.
Yeah.
One thing that drives me crazy, when she gives him the necklace, there's a whole dramatic scene where I think in slow motion, put it on his neck. How come every time a guy gets a piece of jewelry in a movie, it's always like a cool piece of, like, it was a knife. I think it was like a tooth or a claw or something. And he, like, I wish it was like a pink pussy cat with like, that like smelled like daisies. And she's like, wear that. And he's like, I don't think I should wear that in front of me. And she's like, you'll wear this and remember me. And he's like, fine. And then he turned around and all the guys are like, ah, homo weirdo with the fucking pink. But it's always a, I don't know. I just always thought it would be fun.
You could get an Athenian to me.
My last point, the goat path. The goat path was the linchpin in this entire plan. And he knew that the goat path was going to be an issue. They talk about it. And that's what the hunchback tells Xerxes about, that he can go around. Everybody knew about the goat path. Leonidas did nothing to protect I think he sent a few of the soldiers, a few of the Greek guys or Athenians, whatever they were, to go protect. Why wouldn't he have sent some of his actual warriors to watch the goat path and let them know if some shit was going down? Instead, until the end, when the one guy shows up and is like, we're ruined, it's over, we're leaving. And he's like, and Leonidas is like, well, then I'm going to risk all of my men and we're all going to die, because that's how this movie's going to go. That didn't even make sense. And maybe that is what historically happened. I've never looked into it, but it's just such weak story. The whole thing all across the board was weak story writing. And maybe as a graphic novel, it read better and worked better. I never read the graphic novel. If it was shot for shot, the graphic novel must have been kind of weakly written too. But Yeah, the whole movie is just, it's just bad. Like, the writing's bad, the plot's bad, the character's no character development. Why do Greek and Roman people always have British accents? I don't know why that's a thing, where we decided that that was how we would represent British people or Greek people. It's just bad across the board. If you want to see, and I know Kevin doesn't like this movie, but if you want to see at least a movie that handles this kind of thing better, watch Troy. Troy is head and tails better than this movie. And whether or not you like it, it is definitely better than this movie. And this movie, just, there's no character development. Nothing happens with, there's nothing moves forward. It just, and it all ends in basically the same way it was going to end, regardless of what they did. And it drives me crazy. And I think the movie is highly overrated, and it led to a bunch of guys growing beards and working out. And I'm describing myself, so I'm going to stop talking.
I was just going to say.
Now we get to the crux of it.
This is autobiographical, you son of a bitch. I fell right into this.
And CGI. I'll leave that. This movie, and then they couldn't even have actual scenery that in real places. The whole thing was CGI'd. So it was bad enough that it was poorly written, poorly acted, bad characters, but you couldn't even look at anything real. Like, the whole, there was just nothing to this movie other than just like, look at this. This is cool. Watch. And it was like, okay. And then you walked out and you're like, I think I saw something good. And then you went home and sat down and were like, actually, I think that movie sucked. And that's where I am now. That movie sucked. I give it a 2.
Woo.
Wow.
Ooh, Navy SEALs. That is a, well, actually, that's right on. That's, finally, someone who hates a film almost as Don Jameson hates films, because some of our last gutters go, 7, 8. What? That's not a gutting. That's, I liked it with a few displeasures to report about it. Get the fuck out. 2 from Kevin Israel. Let's go to our guest judge with the Sancho Panza fucking outfit on there. Bill Schultz. Bill, notes.
Well, I'll tell you, and I kind of briefly touched on it. I'd never seen this movie before.
Oh.
Until this weekend for you guys, because I'm such a researcher. I finally watched it, and I wasn't really sure what. Well, I kind of knew what to expect because it's Zack Snyder, and this could not have been more Zack Snyder-y. I certainly didn't hate it as much as Kev did. I mean, I enjoyed it, I guess. I enjoyed I used to like it for the fact that the one nice thing that Joanne ever said to me was that she thought I looked like Dominic West. Now, what she fully said was that I look like Dominic West and Billie Jean King had a butt baby, but I still took it as a compliment. And yet he was such a loathsome individual in the movie. I no longer think it to be that. A couple of things to kind of piggyback with Israel on is the hunchback, the way he is presented in the film after he's following them for a while. And then he goes and gets rejected for taking his father's place in the army because, well, you're an ugly hunchback. Talk about delivering the plot point, like hook, line, and sinker to a stupid audience to begin with. If you couldn't see where this was going after that, then you've got some serious, even action adventure plot following problems for you. You knew that this guy was going to sell him down the river. You knew that because he was betrayed, he was going to go see Xerxes orgy, and then the chips would fall where they may. Part of that is actually based a little bit on facts, not the hunchback part, but the guy that betrayed him. The one credit I would give to this movie, probably the most factually accurate part of it, no fake tits. Lots of tits, but you could not spot one rack that looked like it was silicone enhanced. That was across the board. Some real, and I'll say it, beautiful fake tits, gentlemen.
Real. God forbid everything else is bullet motion and shit, but if we see one pair of tits that don't move when she reaches back to scratch her leg, that's where the horseshit please come in. And that's where we yell, that doesn't happen. But no, Zack Snyder, on that, you get a point of merit from us. Thank you.
Yes. And the other thing, too, is like, Kev touched on this as well, is the movie a revisionist version of this movie should have been called Take the Deal and Kneel. Take the Deal and Kneel. Because first of all, let's look at the final. This motherfucking god, human, whatever the fuck Xerxes was, he gives him an option. He is besmirched, blasphemed, what have you. Leonidas does what he does. Comes back, gives him another offer, gives him a final offer where he is a warlord, still king of his own castle, all of the lands, has more riches than he'll ever want. All the motherfucker has to do is kneel. Not only does he save himself, not only does he have an amazing life, but he saves his supposedly the troops that he loves. Not only that, what part of live to fight another day does he not get? He goes back there and does what eventually happens, which is all the Greeks come together, finally as Greece, and they do eventually defeat Xerxes. Well, he could have done that with them if he just fucking knelt. Now, I know that wouldn't have made it Spartans as a people, and I know it wouldn't have made Sparta as a movie, but you can't help and watch this movie and think you're the worst general of all time.
Something tells me that the general. All right. Leonidas would have been the worst contestant on why am I blanking on that? Goddamn, let's make a deal. The Howie show. What's with the suitcases?
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Why am I blanking? Deal or no deal?
Yeah.
Leonidas, you have two cases. One has a penny. The other one has $1 million. We're going to offer you $750,000. I shall not kneel to you, bald fuck. You bald Canadian. How dare thee?
Hey, here's your penny.
Yeah.
Well, and like a couple. But by the way, even though Spartans were indeed starting, they trained at 7, were released into the masses at 30. A lot of that was kind of true, but I felt like the only thing that I could bring to the table with this would be to do a couple quick history versus Hollywood facts. One of them being that the women were as, if I may use the word, uppity as Leonidas' wife was. They were treated very equally. They were supposedly very hot. Helen of Troy was originally Spartan, supposedly the hottest woman that ever lived.
Face of off, launch a thousand ships.
The one thing that the women would do is if any guy came back from battle and it was clear the rest of the troops died and that he was a deserter, the mother of that soldier would kill him, meaning that that one guy that was blinded and came back to tell Leonidas's story, his mom would have thought he was lying and killed him. That's what would happen. And then secondly, I would have also liked to see a different movie called Remember the Heliots. They were the slaves that made the whole Spartan community go, because Spartans were all soldiers, and they enslaved a rival community, made them all slaves. When you're trained to be a soldier, the kids would learn how to kill a slave in the middle of the night, and no one looked, everyone just sort of looked the other way. These poor Heliots, they were part of spying, and this is how stupid the Spartans were. Here's how they spied. If they had people over in enemy lines, they would take a Heliot and shave their head, tattoo their plan for the people that were behind enemy lines, have the slave grow their hair back. They had a lot of time on their hands. Mm-hmm. Have the slave go over the Heliot across enemy lines. Then if they recognize the slave, shave the head again to read the tattooed lines. That was espionage for Spartans. Idiots.
You've done a lot more research for this episode than I sure have.
There was another great one that I found. They were very only men that died in battle or women that died in childbirth. See, they were very progressive for their time, got names on the gravestones. And the one main thing that was very inaccurate in the movie was they all should have had flowing lawn as if in the cover, like Fabio in a Harlequin novel, they all should have had flowing lawn hair. Because the big thing about if you knew you were a soldier is they had very long hair and they were known as like pretty boys because they would spend times combing their very long hair and anointing their naked bodies with perfume before battle. And the enemies would make fun of the Spartans for that. But it was because they wanted to look as good as possible when they go into whatever their God heaven is, as dying in the field of battle. So really, apart from a few, haircuts were very accurate in that film.
I feel like we're in like ancient Greek history 101.
And that's exactly why I'm falling asleep.
Sorry. I thought they were fun facts. I guess
also, the terrain in Greece.
Yeah.
But yeah, the stylized thing, it was very Zack Snyder-y. I certainly didn't hate. I liked it. I mean, it's something that you watch when you're doing other things, and then you kind of stop and rewind when you see an action scene that kind of
other thing.
But all right, jerking off to abs, you got me. But
oh, I got pre-cum stuck in my belly hair. Shit.
That's the oils you were anointing your body with.
Also, and this isn't going to help my I'm straight point, I don't like Michael Fassbender with long hair. Don't like it. I like when he has short hair. My final thoughts.
Oh, so you're more of a Magneto kind of fella.
Yes, sir.
Fair enough.
Magneto. I like the more Aryan buzz cut.
Do you like, so whenever he shows up that massive hammer of his, you need to see short hair with a long dong as opposed to long hair with a long dong.
We all know that if you manscape, it makes a dong look longer.
Don't I know it? Don't I know it? Don't I know it? Is that all for you, Mr. Schultz?
I'll interject when you talk because I have so many more fun facts.
What flow we have here. Yeah, I appreciate the history lesson. I think I went out and said, I'm going to go take this class pass. I'm going to take this class pass fail. I've decided now. Savior of all four-year schools, the pass-fail option. Yummy. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com. And don't forget, if you want to advertise with us, just drop by, say hi as well. Why not just email us at guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com and subscribe to us and all, you know, on YouTube. You could use the help. Appreciate that. And if you like us, keep on doing what Kevin Israel says at the end of every episode, and that's write us a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review. Notes. You guys got all deep and historical. I have a lot of dick jokes here, so strap in.
I'm the bad guy. Bring that little substance.
That's why we have you back so damn often. Taking me from my family at 8 years old means I would have to leave behind my Transformers, G.I. Joe, and He-Man figures. Take a wild guess who would have won AWOL, not Army. Me. I don't know what the Greek version of Canada is, but you would have found me there. Gerard Butler must have told Zack Snyder, make sure you get a tight shot of my lats and traps as I push open a door. I want every woman in the theater sliding off their seats. Lena Headey is great in everything she does. The drug lord in Dread, the wife of the army leader here, the wife of the Leonidas, and as the white trash wrestler mom in Fighting With My Family, she's quite ubiquitous and she's a Swiss Army knife of acting, if I may say so.
Do you leave out Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Well, she was fantastic in Game of Thrones.
Well, thank you for continuing to make my point for me. Well, I forgot a quote. He is your son. I have others to replace him. Yeah. Well, Sparta's resident psychiatrist is about to pick up some more business. Daddy didn't want me. He said I'm replaceable. Is 300 the gay dudes / women version of showgirls for straight dudes? Or Magic
Mike?
You lost
me at straight dudes.
38 minutes in and I really don't care. Not much at all. I'll wager George Lucas watched this at one point and said, Jesus Christ, there's way too much CGI in this, even for me. Kevin Israel, I'm surprised you missed this little reference. Too bad Leonidas didn't want Red Skull fighting with him in his battalion.
Oh.
Zack Snyder directed this and Batman versus Superman. It would have been cool when Leonidas was too busy cutting off other people's limbs that he would have yelled out, Martha.
Wait, all three of them's moms are named Martha? You're blowing my mind.
That's what I do. Sure, Leonidas can throw a spear and do hand-to-hand combat, but can he make people laugh and pull a few that doesn't moping out, that doesn't happen moments out in films like I can?
I feel like this is a rhetorical question.
Very true. Looking up and seeing a cloud of arrows must be a bigger oh shit moment than going into a single toilet stall and seeing there's no toilet paper. Xerxes looks like he's a platinum card carrying member of Hot Topic. All of these Greeks and not one unibrow nor diner to be seen. This is bullshit. Or someone calling up my friend. Okay.
Well, by the way, very good point. Also, no back was, every back was waxed. If you're Greek, you got, you're Sasquatchian.
Yeah, they should look like Mankind's beard on everyone's back.
I actually did have a note about that, that if you had a hairy chest, you that must have been a reason to kick you out of society. And they just stole it.
Because, you know, the bears of the gay society were going, we're not represented right. This is
bullshit. Go join the Athenians, you hairy fuck.
Oh, and now I'm now. Thank you. That's good. And now we have an army of dudes wearing eyes wide shut masks. The only thing missing now is creepy piano music and an ending that falls flat. I'm now at the part where this just turned into a God of War / Mortal Kombat video game. Something tells me that no one's going to come out and go, friendship, friendship. If Zack Snyder directed a porno, there'd be 3D jizz and coos juice squirting toward the camera every 3 minutes.
Coos juice.
I love that word, coos juice. That's what I call the Vegas pools, coos juice, because that's what they are. But that's why I wasn't afraid of waiting to get a vaccine, because if I can survive a Vegas pool for 4 fucking nights, I sure as hell can survive COVID. Why does Xerxes sound like he's starring in an anonymous hackers video? Leonidas kicked that dude out with one eye from his battalion. He would shit his pants now if he saw the new relaxed army regulations where you just have to do 14 push-ups in 2 days.
Wait, I could be in the army.
Slow down, Bill. More like Merchant Marines challenge for you. Or Coast Guard. No disrespect to all of our Merchant Marines or Coast Guard folks. I get all the
hate mail.
I know. I get all the metaphors. I'm going to get hate mail for the one I chose, believe me. I get all the metaphors and allegories that they're going for, but this just simply is not working for me. This felt like a bunch of monologues tossed in with a few battle scenes mixed in.
Yeah.
People who love this film wear T-shirts with cliches on them and go to the gym. Shirts that like this one queef bag at my gym wears that says, no days off. Or another one that says, women can wait, but the gin can't.
Oh, Jesus.
How rude of me. Bill, the gym is where people go to lift weights to gain muscle mass.
Wait, not to fuck people that have muscle mass.
I didn't say I didn't say steam room. Correct.
I'm getting rid of my membership.
For a real-ish event that happened, this is going to sound so fucking hypocritical of me to say, I think the overusage of CGI detracted a little bit. I don't know. How about you guys? I know it's a comic book film, but this took so much out of me. You said it right, yeah. Kevin. Not one iota of a real natural background. You know what you saw? Even though the movie sucked, Highlander. You know what we saw a lot of? Rolling Highlands. You know what we saw here in 300? A lot of nothing. A lot of computer wire framework. That's what we saw. This story was not interesting enough. The action wasn't memorable enough. There aren't enough scenes people reminisce. Like, remember that time where Arnold threw the circular saw blade at that guy's head and then cut another guy's arm off with a machete in the shed? Oh, wait, that's Commando, because I remember that film.
Mm-hmm.
None of those things happen in this film. Not one scene people who defend this film can say, oh, remember the part where, and everyone goes, nods their head in agreement and go, yeah, man, that was pretty fucking cool. None.
I will say this. Best beheading movie ever made.
The beheadings in that movie
were unbelievably shot. I've never seen anything like it.
Record decapitations
in
this movie.
The air, or the guy standing there, and then finally neck falls off.
We've seen that slow roll off the body with the head thing a million fucking times.
I think they stole it from 300.
No, that's been done. That was done in Gladiator. That was done in, I think, in The Last Mohicans. They had that happen too.
Kev, this is a bouquet of beheadings. This is a bouquet of beheadings.
Listen, stop bringing your emo bands that you like on Spotify to this discussion, okay?
A diorama of decapitation.
Look at
I will take it.
You know, the alliteration always gets me hard. You boys know me too well. I love alliteration. I fell asleep watching this the first time I saw this film. No, and I don't fall asleep during films. I don't. The second time I did not fall asleep, but I was not impressed at all. I don't get why it's so heralded at the time. And shortly thereafter, it came out. But notice this. You never hear people talk to this day about, hey, what were some of the best films of the last 10, 15, 20 years? No one says 300. No one. This got swept under the rug, and rightfully so. 4 out of 10. Snooze. Schultz, what score did you give this? I don't think I asked you.
I'll give it the highest score, which is not by much. I'll go one up on you and say 5.
Got a 2, a 4, and a 5. So we're pretty much in agreeance. Critics, 5-star reviews.
Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews.
By no means great art, but it is certainly, but it is most certainly fantastic trash.
See, that's a
5-star review.
Yes.
Fair.
So she's not hot, but she's great for right now.
What was the SR-71? She's not Miss Right. She's not Miss Right, but she's Miss Right Now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was the old 145 song they played, right, guys? And we all were guilty of doing it.
Yep.
If you're in the mood for anything dumb, rousing, visceral excitement, you're not going to find anything on the big screen now to rival it.
Now?
I mean, this is written probably back in the day. 300 is an orgy of gory bloodletting on a titanic scale, a ballet of butchery, in which half-naked men and the torrents of blood they elicit move in perfect slow-motion choreography to a thunderous soundtrack. And I loved every minute of it. And my favorite review, so manly it makes Troy look like a Mary-Kate and Ashley adventure. Good one. Critics, 1-star reviews.
You know you make me wanna.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews. And critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
300 has one-dimensional caricatures. I think they meant to say characters. Who talk like professional wrestlers plugging their next feud. Let me tell you something here, Leonidas. You and me in Hell in a Cell next week at WrestleMania.
That's pretty solid.
That was Roger Ebert who wrote that review, by the way.
Was it really?
It was.
Well done, Roger.
Oh, my God.
R.I.P. Roger's vocal cords. Ass crack ugly. I mean, hold on. Are we talking Lizzo's ass crack or Kerry Washington's ass crack? Because two ass cracks are very much different than another.
Not all ass cracks are created equal.
That's very true.
Yes.
300 is a fun fest of blood, mayhem, and absurdity. At its best, it is entertaining. When it's not, it's pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb much of the time. All of this bellowing and testosterone gets old fast, especially since there's not a lot of plot outside the combat scenes, and the not much of a plot scenes are laden with dialogue worthy of Anakin and Padme. It's a fear. I want to be a Jedi.
Well, like, that's the thing I don't get about, like, the frat boys that love the lines from these movies, because they're so fucking terrible. Going back to what you guys were saying, like, tonight we dine in hell. That's how you motivate the troops. Yeah, tonight we, wait, what? Dine in hell? Well, why would we ever want to do that?
Why are we in your mom's box, bro? Yeah, a real fat boy film should be Bloodsport, because there's some real ass whooping going on in that one. All this bellowing until I read that one. A typical stupid action movie with an extra dollop of stupid on the side. I love the word dollop, by the way. By the way, I just shot a dollop of jizz in the trash can after watching two Brazilian women scissor on YouPorn. Dollop. That's a proper definition for dollop.
We have similar tastes in YouPorn.
Use it in a sentence.
I just did.
I know.
Similar tastes in YouPorn. Oh, you like Brazilians too? Scissoring? Yeah. Except when they play that capoeira music. That's awful. Amazon 5-star reviews.
Amazon 5-star reviews. Amazon 5-star reviews. Amazon 5-star reviews. Gutting power.
In a world of toxic masculinity, thank our great Thank our great fortune that this film is created during its time before the cancerous feminism and SJWs are at its peak now, infecting our media. While the film isn't entirely accurate to the history, it is still fun to watch. Yeah, it is still fun to watch and remind ourselves what our ancestors and predecessors did to build the world we have today. Men of ancient times have fought to protect our homes, family, and way of life. Masculinity is never toxic. It is the toxic feminists that have brainwashed modern society into believing it is. I love this movie and continue to watch it over and over, for it is the last surviving of over-the-top machismo-type fun of its kind. Signed, Seth Rogen.
By the way, this motherfucker's ancestor wasn't them. He was the Halliot that got tattooed on his head and pushed over into enemy lines. That guy sucks.
How do you know he wasn't never mind, forget it, Kevin. I'll think of it later. I thoroughly enjoy. I had a half-thick one, but the joke was going to come out and it's not fully formed. Then I have to edit and post. That's more work for me.
It was a miscarriage.
It was. I thoroughly enjoy 300 every time I watch it, and there are not a lot of movies I watch multiple times. There are a lot of reasons for this, and the first being a great story. It is also the best adaptation of a graphic novel I've seen and brings that look/feel to the movie medium very effectively. There's another reason I like this movie. Gerard Butler in here looks very reminiscent of my long-gone Uncle Gerald, who I miss terribly, especially with his beard and great toothy smile.
Also, he molested me.
Uncle Gerald.
Yeah, I assume that's how that letter, the end of it goes. Yeah,
kids, don't go near, sit on Uncle Gerald's lap. You know, just because he gives you a stocking full of lube, that's not the way to say hello. The attempt to make it look like a comic book is gorgeous. All the men with fresh abs got me hyped. I started going to the gym after this to get my own abs. I credit this as one of the reasons I started working out. I wanted to be King Leonidas without the dying part. Great acting from Gerard. Many people need to realize that these men saved democracy for the world. If Persia would have won, they would have conquered Greece, and we would not know the freedom that we do today. Signed, Cobra Commander.
That's so something Cobra Commander would say.
And then retreat.
Well, by the way, I will say this: Cobra Commander, a better commander than Leonidas.
I mean, Leonidas won a few battles. Cobra Commander never did.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
These guys couldn't even hit anything.
Right. I mean, they had to build a fucking leader from all the DNA of dead fallen leaders to make one to unseat Cobra Commander. And then they made him mutate into a snake. I think Leonidas got off.
Not to fact check you, but they mutated him with Hitler and a bunch of other things as well, as far as G.I. Joe.
Lord he was not. You're wrong. You're very wrong, because I watch it with my daughter. It is on some family channel. We DVR it, and I rewatch it.
Why is it?
Because G.I. Joe's a fantastic cartoon, and I will strike you down if you disagree.
This episode's going somewhere I didn't foresee.
Amazon one-star reviews.
Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews now. Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews now. Amazon one-star reviews, one-star reviews.
A perfect Nazi movie. I see this movie as one of the most racist movies made by American film industry. First of all, black slavery was just invented by colonial empire in the era from 1490 to 1860, and most Asian slaveries were mostly white, and the word slave itself is derived from Slav or Slavic people who are still living in Eastern Europe and Russia, parts of the Middle East. Also, notice how the movie depicts deformed people like the hunchback trader and the fighting monster in the Persian army. The movie depicts Xerxes as a beardless, shaven, clean face, and with his pierced noses and face surrounded by lesbian women. If Hitler were alive, he would have loved this movie.
What?
Wow, that got
that's
real
a lot of acid.
Signed by Michael Cera. Okay. Rewatch this for the first time in at least 10 years. I've forgotten how shallow, weak, and silly it is. Zero feelings other than boredom were stirred. I'm going to bed. Thanks. Well, nighty night. Don't let the Persians bite.
Because they love to bite.
Yes, let's portray Persians as demons and monsters when during the same time they had female admirals and pretty decent human rights in comparison to the Greeks. This racist movie needs to be thrown into the dustbin.
Yeah, I expected stuff like that. Yeah.
Worldwide wrestling with swords and sandals. If you're above high school age, don't bother with this one. Signed, Eric Bischoff. This movie was so lame. I have fell asleep with dinner in my lap and spilled the ranch dressing. Now I don't have any for my Hot Pockets. Can you make the second one better so your movie doesn't trigger my narcolepsy? Smiley face. Ranch and Hot Pockets. This sounds like someone with a terrible palate or someone from Kansas. Actually, they're the same thing. Check that.
Hot Pockets.
The old joke. How do you get a girl from the Midwest to blow you? Pour ranch all over your dick. Bill Schultz, did Kevin Israel gut the sacred cow?
He absolutely did.
Wow. Yeah. You don't know how to build up any tension, do you? How many times have you done this fucking show, you simpleton?
Look, I know my co-host, and she gets impatient when she's waiting.
She has 3 minutes. We're fine.
Yeah, he did. I'll give him this credit. I'm still pissed off about The Shining, but he gutted this one.
He gutted The Shining quite well. I will say. All right. Well, listen, I will co-sign. But again, this also helps that the film does hang itself from its own entrails. This film is not anywhere good nor entertaining, nor is it made to be. But listen, you did the job. You did a serviceable and admirable job, I will say, as well.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Kevin Israel, since you're our guest, where can we find you? What are you up to?
KevinIsrael.com. I'm up to having a baby shortly, and I'm taking
your wife is not you.
Well, that remains to be seen. And I'm taking a short hiatus from stand-up comedy, but I'll be back probably in February and March. So check out my calendar for upcoming dates. And yeah, keep supporting this guy. I appreciate coming on this great podcast. Put together something really special, Kev. I think your co-host is the more handsome one, but you do a pretty good job yourself. So thanks for having me.
All that true except for the handsome part. Bill Schultz, how you doing, pal? What where can we find you?
Well, baby pending. You can see both these motherfuckers. We can see both these motherfuckers on morning next week for a lot of more fun-filled, possibly holiday-themed movie talk. And you can see my shitty little Balanz and Xerxes orgy co-host on the next Gutting the Sacred Cow coming up very soon.
KevinGoatee.com, where you can find more bets. Like I went 7-3 yesterday, including betting against Bill's Chicago Bears. And boy, that didn't take much, did it?
Boy, rough bet there. Yeah.
Easy one. Well, I teased it down and I also bet him on the money line, 12.5. That was a cakewalk. KevinGoatee.com for NFL picks, dates as well. But most importantly, guttingthesacredcow.com for blogs every day. Like that doesn't happen. As well as trailer talk. Never mind. This is going to air a little bit later. Who gives a shit? KevinGoatee.com, guttingthesacredcow.com, GTSC podcast on Twitter. Kevin Israel, thanks for being in the old gutters chair today.
Yeah, Bill Schultz, awesome.
Bill Schultz, thanks for coming back as always, there, chum.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We love you to pieces. And folks, thanks again. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.